Chapter 11. Committed a great many petty thieveries in the houses where they were employed, and some of them were publicly whipped for it, when perhaps they ought rather to have been hanged for examples, for numbers of houses were robbed on these occasions, till at length the parish officers were sent to recommend nurses to the sick, and always took an account whom it was they sent, so as that they might call them to account if the house had been abused where they were placed. But these robberies extended chiefly to wearing clothes, linen, and what rings or money they could come at when the person died who was under their care, but not to a general plunder of the houses. And I could give you an account of one of these nurses, who, several years after, being on her deathbed, confessed with the utmost horror the robberies she had committed at the time of her being a nurse, and by which she had enriched herself to a great degree. But as for murders, I do not find that there was ever any proof of the facts, in the manner as it has been reported, except as above. They did tell me, indeed, of a nurse in one place that laid a wet cloth upon the face of a dying patient whom she tended, and so put an end to his life, who was just expiring before, and another that smothered a young woman she was looking to when she was in a fainting fit, and would have come to herself. Some that killed them, by giving them one thing, some another, and some starved them, by giving them nothing at all. But these stories had two marks of suspicion, that always attended them, which caused me always to slight them, and to look on them as mere stories, that people continually frighted one another with. First, that wherever it was that we heard it, they always placed the scene at the farther end of the town, opposite or most remote from where you were to hear it. If you heard it in Whitechapel, it had happened at St. Giles, or at Westminster, or Holborn, or that end of the town. If you heard of it at that end of the town, then it was done in Whitechapel, or the Minories, or about Cripplegate Parish. If you heard of it in the city, why, then it happened in Southwark. And if you heard of it in Southwark, then it was done in the city, and the like. In the next place, of what part soever you heard the story, the particulars were always the same, especially that of laying a wet double cloud on a dying man's face, and that of smothering a young gentlewoman, so that it was apparent, at least to my judgment, that there was more of tale than of truth in those things. However, I cannot say, but it had some effect upon the people, and particularly that, as I said before, they grew more cautious whom they took into their houses, and whom they trusted their lives with, and had them always recommended if they could, and where they could not find such, for they were not very plenty, they applied to the parish officers. But here again the misery of that time lay upon the poor who, being infected, had neither food or physic, neither physician or apothecary to assist them, or nurse to attend them. Many of those died calling for help, and even for sustenance, out at their windows, in a most miserable and deplorable manner. But it must be added, that whenever the cases of such persons or families were represented to my Lord Mayor, they always were relieved. It is true, in some houses where the people were not very poor, yet where they had sent perhaps their wives and children away, and if they had any servants they had been dismissed. I say it is true, that to save the expenses, many such as these shut themselves in, and not having help, died alone. A neighbor and acquaintance of mine, having some money owing to him from a shopkeeper in Whitecross Street or thereabouts, sent his apprentice, a youth about 18 years of age, to endeavor to get the money. He came to the door, and finding it shut, knocked pretty hard, and, as he thought, heard somebody answer within, but was not sure, so he waited, and after some stay knocked again, and then a third time, when he heard somebody coming downstairs. At length the man of the house came to the door. He had on his breeches or drawers, and a yellow flannel waistcoat, no stockings, a pair of slipped shoes, a white cap on his head, and, as the young man said, death in his face. When he opened the door, says he, "What do you disturb me thus for?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, the boy, though a little surprised, replied, I come from such a one, and my master sent me for the money which he says you know of. Apostrophe, very well, child, apostrophe, returns the living ghost. Call as you go by at Cripplegate Church, and bid them ring the bell, and with these words, shut the door again, and went up again, and died the same day, nay, perhaps the same hour. This the young man told me himself, and I have reason to believe it. This was while the plague was not come to a height. I think it was in June, towards the latter end of the month. It must be before the dead carts came about, and while they used the ceremony of ringing the bell for the dead, which was over for certain, in that parish at least, before the month of July, for by the 25th of July there died 550 and upwards in a week, and then they could no more bury in form, rich or poor. I have mentioned above that notwithstanding this dreadful calamity, yet the numbers of thieves were abroad upon all occasions, where they had found any prey, and that these were generally women. It was one morning about 11 o'clock, I had walked out to my brother's house in Coleman Street Parish, as I often did, to see that all was safe. My brother's house had a little court before it, and a brick wall and a gate in it, and within that several warehouses, where his goods of several sorts lay. It happened that in one of these warehouses, were several packs of women's high-crowned hats, which came out of the country and were, as I suppose, for exportation. Whither, I know not. I was surprised, that when I came near my brother's door, which was in a place they called Swan Alley, I met three or four women with high-crowned hats on their heads, and, as I remembered afterwards, one, if not more, had some hats likewise in their hands. But as I did not see them come out at my brother's door, and not knowing that my brother had any such goods in his warehouse, I did not offer to say anything to them, but went across the way to shun meeting them, as was usual to do at that time, for fear of the plague. But when I came nearer to the gate I met another woman with more hats, come out of the gate. What business, mistress, apostrophe, said I, have you at there? There are more people there, apostrophe, said she. I have had no more business there than they. Apostrophe, I was hasty to get to the gate then, and said no more to her, by which means she got away. But just as I came to the gate, I saw two more coming across the yard, to come out with hats also on their heads, and under their arms, at which I threw the gate to behind me, which having a spring lock fastened itself, and turning to the women, forsooth, apostrophe, said I, what are you doing here? Apostrophe, and seized upon the hats, and took them from them. One of them, who, I confess, did not look like a thief indeed, apostrophe, says she, we are wrong, but we were told they were goods, that had no owner. Be pleased to take them again, and look yonder, there are more such customers as we. Apostrophe, she cried and looked pitifully, so I took the hats from her, and opened the gate, and bade them be gone, for I pitied the women indeed. But when I looked towards the warehouse, as she directed, there were six or seven more, all women, fitting themselves with hats as unconcerned, and quiet as if they had been at a hatter's shop buying for their money. I was surprised, not at the sight of so many thieves only, but at the circumstances I was in, being now to thrust myself in among so many people, who for some weeks had been so shy of myself that, if I met anybody in the street I would cross the way from them. They were equally surprised, though on another account. They all told me they were neighbors, that they had heard anyone might take them, that they were nobody's goods, and the like. I talked big to them at first, went back to the gate, and took out the key, so that they were all my prisoners, threatened to lock them all into the warehouse, and go and fetch my Lord Mayor's officers for them. They begged heartily, protested they found the gate open, and the warehouse door open, and that it had no doubt been broken open by some who expected to find goods of greater value, which indeed was reasonable to believe, because the lock was broke, and a padlock, that hung to the door on the outside also loose, and not abundance of the hats carried away. At length I considered that this was not a time to be cruel and rigorous, and besides that, it would necessarily oblige me to go much about, to have several people come to me, and I go to several whose circumstances of health I knew nothing of, and that even at this time the plague was so high as that there died 4,000 a week, so that in showing my resentment, or even in seeking justice for my brother's goods, I might lose my own life. So I contented myself with taking the names and places where some of them lived, who were really inhabitants in the neighborhood, and threatening that my brother should call them to an account for it when he returned to his habitation. Then I talked a little upon another foot with them, and asked them how they could do such things as these in a time of such general calamity, and, as it were, in the face of God's most dreadful judgments, when the plague was at their very doors, and, it may be, in their very houses, and they did not know, but that the dead cart might stop at their doors in a few hours, to carry them to their graves. I could not perceive that my discourse made much impression upon them all that while, till it happened that there came two men of the neighborhood, hearing of the disturbance, and knowing my brother, for they had been both dependents upon his family, and they came to my assistance. These being, as I said, neighbors, presently knew three of the women, and told me who they were, and where they lived, and it seems they had given me a true account of themselves before. This brings these two men to a further remembrance. The name of one was John Hayward, who was at that time under sexton of the parish of St. Stephen, Coleman Street. By under sexton was understood at that time gravedigger and bearer of the dead. This man carried, or assisted to carry, all the dead to their graves which were buried in that large parish, and who were carried in form, and after that form of burying was stopped, went with the dead cart and the bell, to fetch the dead bodies from the houses where they lay, and fetched many of them out of the chambers and houses, for the parish was, and is still, remarkable particularly, above all the parishes in London, for a great number of alleys and thoroughfares, very long, into which no carts could come, and where they were obliged to go, and fetch the bodies a very long way, which alleys now remain to witness it, such as White's Alley, Cross Key Court, Swan Alley, Bell Alley, White Horse Alley, and many more. Here they went with a kind of hand barrow, and laid the dead bodies on it, and carried them out to the carts, which work he performed, and never had the distemper at all, but lived about 20 years after it, and was sexton of the parish to the time of his death. His wife at the same time was a nurse to infected people, and tended many that died in the parish, being for her honesty recommended by the parish officers. Yet she never was infected neither. He never used any preservative against the infection, other than holding garlic and rue in his mouth, and smoking tobacco. This I also had from his own mouth. And his wife's remedy was washing her head in vinegar, and sprinkling her head clothes so with vinegar, as to keep them always moist, and if the smell of any of those she waited on was more than ordinary offensive, she snuffed vinegar up her nose, and sprinkled vinegar upon her head clothes, and held a handkerchief wetted with vinegar to her mouth. It must be confessed, that though the plague was chiefly among the poor, yet were the poor the most venturous and fearless of it, and went about their employment with a sort of brutal courage, I must call it so, for it was founded neither on religion nor prudence. Scarce did they use any caution, but ran into any business which they could get employment in, though it was the most hazardous. Such was that of tending the sick, watching houses shut up, carrying infected persons to the pest house, and, which was still worse, carrying the dead away to their graves. It was under this John Hayward's care, and within his bounds, that the story of the piper, with which people have made themselves so merry, happened, and he assured me that it was true. It is said that it was a blind piper, but, as John told me, the fellow was not blind, but an ignorant, weak, poor man, and usually walked his rounds about 10 o'clock at night, and went piping along from door to door, and the people usually took him in at public houses where they knew him, and would give him drink and victuals, and sometimes farthings. And he in return would pipe and sing and talk simply, which diverted the people, and thus he lived. It was but a very bad time for this diversion, while things were as I have told, yet the poor fellow went about as usual, but was almost starved. And when anybody asked how he did, he would answer, the dead cart had not taken him yet, but that they had promised to call for him next week. It happened one night that this poor fellow, whether somebody had given him too much drink, or no, John Hayward said he had not drink in his house, but that they had given him a little more victuals than ordinary at a public house in Coleman Street, and the poor fellow, having not usually had a bellyful for perhaps not a good while, was laid all along upon the top of a bulker stall, and fast asleep, at a door in the street near London Wall, towards Cripplegate, and that upon the same bulk, or stall, the people of some house, in the alley of which the house was a corner, hearing a bell which they always rang, before the cart came, had laid a body really dead of the plague just by him, thinking too, that this poor fellow had been a dead body, as the other was, and laid there by some of the neighbors. Accordingly, when John Hayward with his bell and the cart came along, finding two dead bodies lie upon the stall, they took them up with the instrument they used and threw them into the cart, and all this while the piper slept soundly. From hence they passed along, and took in other dead bodies, till, as honest John Hayward told me, they almost buried him alive in the cart, yet all this, while he slept soundly. At length the cart came to the place, where the bodies were to be thrown into the ground, which, as I do remember, was at Mount Mill, and as the cart usually stopped some time, before they were ready to shoot out the melancholy load they had in it, as soon as the cart stopped the fellow awaked, and struggled a little to get his head out from among the dead bodies, when, raising himself up in the cart, he called out, "Hey! Where am I?" Apostrophe this frighted the fellow that attended about the work, but after some pause John Hayward, recovering himself, said, "Lord, bless us! There's somebody in the cart not quite dead." Apostrophe apostrophe so another called to him and said, "Who are you?" Apostrophe apostrophe the fellow answered, "I am the poor piper. Where am I?" Apostrophe apostrophe where are you? Apostrophe says Hayward, "Why, you are in the dead cart, and we are going to bury you." Apostrophe but I ain't dead though, am I? Apostrophe apostrophe says the piper, which made them laugh a little though, as John said, they were heartily frighted at first, so they helped the poor fellow down, and he went about his business. I know the story goes he set up his pipes in the cart, and frighted the bearers and others, so that they ran away. But John Hayward did not tell the story so, nor say anything of his piping at all, but that he was a poor piper, and that he was carried away, as above I am fully satisfied of the truth of. It is to be noted here, that the dead carts in the city were not confined to particular parishes, but one cart went through several parishes, according as the number of dead presented, nor were they tied to carry the dead to their respective parishes. But many of the dead taken up in the city were carried to the burying ground in the outparts for want of room. I have already mentioned the surprise that this judgment was at first among the people. I must be allowed to give some of my observations on the more serious and religious part. Surely never city, at least of this bulk and magnitude, was taken in a condition so perfectly unprepared for such a dreadful visitation, whether I am to speak of the civil preparations or religious. They were, indeed, as if they had had no warning, no expectation, no apprehensions, and consequently the least provision imaginable was made for it in a public way. For example, the Lord Mayor and sheriffs had made no provision as magistrates for the regulations which were to be observed. They had gone into no measures for relief of the poor. The citizens had no public magazines or storehouses for corner meal for the subsistence of the poor, which if they had provided themselves, as in such cases is done abroad, many miserable families who were now reduced to the utmost distress would have been relieved, and that in a better manner than now could be done. The stock of the city's money I can say but little to. The Chamber of London was said to be exceedingly rich, and it may be concluded that. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.